Well, praise the Lord. Welcome to the broadcast today. This is Apostle Curtis Lewis. I want to take you straight into a message entitled Self-Denial. Let's go now into the Word of God.
And hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Before I go to my next verse, I want to give you a definition for that word hate. And here's something I found in the Greek definition, and I also went online to dictionary.com. And here's two definitions for that word hate. The first definition I find is to love less. To love less. You know, God wants us to love everybody. But when it comes to God, your love for him got to be greater than anybody. And so all he's simply saying is to love. He's not telling you not to love, but you got to love God more than anything and anybody. And I believe that sometime we ought to really test ourselves. Amen. And we need to look around, because we have people that are close to us, and that's a good thing. We have wives or husbands, we have children, we have mothers, and we have fathers that are real close to us. And you ought to ask yourself the question every now and then. You ought to put yourself through the test. Do I love God more than anybody in this earth? You have to love him more than anything, anybody. And Jesus said, if you don't do that, you're really not my disciple. And I don't know about you. I don't like fooling myself. I done, going on 60 years old, there have been many times when I fooled myself. There have been many times I thought I was right when I was dead wrong. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a horrible feeling. To think you right, and me being the type of person, I'm zealous about what I believe, even if it's a lie. And so there was times when I believed a lie. There was times when I believed things and it wasn't true. And when I found out how untrue it was, I felt so bad. Amen. So I don't want to fool myself. I want to make sure God is first in my life. Hallelujah. And I asked him many times. I don't know about you, but I asked God many times. Put me through the test. Because I don't want to run into a situation in my life and back down. What if I get in a situation where I'm over in Middle East somewhere and I got to get my head cut off? Come on now. We got to ask ourselves these questions. See, because we can make ourselves think a lot of things. I'm not trying to make myself think something that's not true. I want it to be the truth. Hallelujah. Another definition is to feel intense dislike. I dislike anything that want to take God's place. That's why I like that definition. Hallelujah. I'm against anything that's going to try to come between me and this relationship with God. Hallelujah. Because I love him with my life, my breath, my strength, my everything. And I like to think there's nothing I wouldn't give up for him. And that's my passion. I even pray that. And I trust you pray that. Because like I said, what if you came to the point of death? Somebody put a gun to your head and you had to deny him. Huh? I'm going to deny him and then I'll ask forgiveness later? Don't work like that. Somebody got it. Amen. Glory to God. So let me go back over here to this verse again. And he's talking about preference here. You got to put God first. God got to come before mom, dad, brothers, sisters. Come on. Even your own life. Because the first commandment said you have no other God before him. Hallelujah. So he's got to be number one. So if any man come to me and hate not his father, his mother, his wife, his children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, and his own life, Jesus said, you can't be my disciple. Now, if we don't take this test, you don't know whether you're a disciple or not. Now, God know. Hallelujah. So we need to take this test. Look at St. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, called all the people and his disciples. And in a minute, we're going to look at some scriptures leading up to this conversation. that I thought was very interesting. It says, and the disciples also, watch this, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And this is what I want to talk about. I don't think this is going to be the only message. It's probably going to be just the introduction to where I'm going, because I'm going somewhere in this series also. And we're going to talk about self-denial. Self-denial is a sweet thing. Amen? It's a sweet thing. I've learned that it's sweet. It's good. Self-denial. Self-denial can become a practice. It should become a lifestyle. Hallelujah. In fact, if you want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, you're going to have to practice self-control. Self-denial. Because that's all it is. Hallelujah. In St. Luke chapter 25, Jesus defined the self. Because here's what he said. For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself? Now, do you know that's the same thing that was stated over in St. Mark chapter 8, verse 34 down to verse 37? What do it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Jesus trying to tell us the soul and the self is same, is the same. Hallelujah. It's the same. It's one and the same. So we basically talking about the same thing. Self-denial. Self-denial. Now, let me share this as I get going in this message, and we're going to look at some scriptures in a few minutes. Let me share this. The word self, here's what it means. I went to dictionary.com, and I kind of like this definition. It means a person or a thing referred to with respect to complete individuality. In other words, you're talking about the individual. You're talking about you. When we say self, we're talking about you. Yourself, your soul. Hallelujah. Okay? And Jesus just validated that in St. Luke chapter 9, verse 25. And he said, what will you advantage if you lose yourself? I don't want to lose myself. Amen? I want the self to be saved. I want the soul to be saved. Glory to God. Now, let me share this with you. And I'm going to just touch on this, and we'll probably elaborate on it further down in the message. The self or the soul is like tofu. Anybody know what tofu is? Raise your hand if you know what tofu is. Okay? My wife helped me to see this. The self or the soul is like tofu. Tofu is a unique food that become whatever you give it to. If you mix it with some, that tofu become whatever you mixed it with. Amen? Now, the soul or the self is the same identical way. Why do you think the tree of the knowledge of good and evil messed up Adam? Because he, in his soul or in his self, chose to disobey God and eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And his self became something other than what God had destined. Now, what do you think would have happened if he would have ate of the tree of life? See, God made you a self or a soul. And whatever you give it to, that's what it becomes. The self has the ability to house emotions. The self or the soul, And it's really the same. When you study the Word of God, it's really the same. But we're talking about self-denial. But the self not only have the ability to house emotions, it produces emotions. Mm-hmm. You can hang around a person and have no feelings at all for them. But if you give yourself to that person, you'll start developing emotions. Because your soul has that ability. God put it in there. So the soul is like tofu. Whatever you give it to is what it becomes. What would happen if you give it to the Word? What would happen if you give yourself completely over to the Holy Ghost? Hallelujah. So we're going somewhere in this, and let me show you something. Go to Acts chapter 2, verse 12, and let me review just a little bit, and then I'm going to get into some of the things that I want to talk about self-denial. Self-denial. Why do we have to deny self? Why? Why did Jesus say, except you deny yourself, you can't be my disciple? Jesus was after something. He knew something about the self that apparently we just catching up realizing. Hallelujah. And when you realize this, you'll be very, very careful what you give yourself over to. You'll be very careful what you allow to come into yourself when you understand this. Hallelujah. But I want to review just a little bit, and let's look at the scriptures again to see how the self or the soul was saved. Same thing, okay? Acts chapter 2, verse 12. Hallelujah. And we're going to go down to verse 14. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? In other words, this is when the Holy Ghost had fell on the day of Pentecost, and people was there from all over. And all of a sudden, some of them begin to witness the wonderful things that God was doing. But some of them begin to mock. And some of them begin to talk against it. And some of them didn't understand it. And this was the thing that came up in some of their hearts. And they was all amazed and was in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? What is this? And verse 13 said, others was mocking. These men are full of new wine. Hallelujah. And do you know people have influence on each other? Now, if Peter wouldn't have stood up and defined what was going on, some people would have left out of there believing that stuff. And that's why God called somebody to speak out. And look what happened. It says, others mocking, saying, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, thank God for the but, Peter standing up with the 11. The 11 stood up too. Glory to God. The 11 apostles. And he lifted up his voice. You wonder why sometimes I start softening, sometimes I lift my voice up. Maybe God addressing something. See, I want y'all to see lifting the voice is in the scripture. Amen. Because God sometimes is addressing things. So the Peter stood up and all the 11 apostles stood up and they lifted up their voice and said unto them, you men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be it known unto you and hearken to my words. Hallelujah. Hearken to my words this evening about self-denial. That's where I'm going, but I'm traveling to get there. Glory to God. Look at verse 37. It says, now when they heard this, they was pricked in their hearts. See, Peter lifted his voice up and the Holy Ghost anointed it. And it caused his words to pierce hearts. It caused his words to bring them back to reality. Because they was developing a mindset that, hey, these guys full of wine. These guys are silly. The devil was trying to embarrass the move of God. But God got a way of defining that thing. Hallelujah. And after Peter got through speaking, after he lifted his voice and the Holy Ghost did, these people was pricked to their hearts. And the Bible said, and said unto Peter, they was pricked and touched and convicted. They said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? See, the Holy Ghost done brought them to conviction. Then Peter said, now I want you to watch how strategic the scriptures are. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. God was ready to remit your sins. Because see, they had sinned. They sinned in their thoughts. They sinned in their words. This is an awesome move of God. And humankind decided to define it. They needed to repent. And some of those same people killed Jesus. But when the apostle got through speaking, the Holy Ghost working with him, they brought him to repentance. Glory to God. And we call this salvation. It says, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. You need the Holy Ghost to keep these thoughts in subjection. You need the Holy Ghost to keep yourself in check. You need the Holy Ghost. Don't the devil gonna partner with self and take you somewhere you shouldn't be. I want myself or my soul partnered with God. Hallelujah. You can't control self without the Holy Ghost. You can't control your own. A lot of people think they're in control. Wait till you stop breathing. Only way you can be in control is with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. It's for everybody. Some people, and you know, even though there's scripture in here, some people still sit in church and say, well, you know, I don't need the Holy Ghost. I'm all right. What? Doctrine, because see, that was a teaching. Oh, everybody don't have to have the Holy Ghost. But that ain't what these scriptures say. Let me keep traveling here. I don't mean to stop on every verse because I got to get somewhere tonight. And with many of, now watch this. Now, Peter done explained how you can get it right. Okay? Now, watch, he kept preaching though. We stop, usually people stop at verse 39. Peter did not stop at verse 39. Peter kept talking, and look at what he said. And with many other words, it was many other things he had in that same sermon, that same message. With many other words did he testify and exalt. Watch this. This is the verse I like, and I'm getting to right here. Save yourselves. We're talking about self-denial. After you done repented, after you done received the hope, done went down in the water, done buried that old man, after you got the Holy Ghost, now the Bible says, save yourselves. And this is a message that's not very popular in the church about save yourself. And I'm not talking about you getting on a cross dying for your own sin. And that's not what Peter talking about. Because none of us could get the sin out of our soul but Christ and his blood. But after he has done that, and after you've repented, and after you've been baptized, and after you've received the Holy Ghost, now save yourself. Now, if you don't know what the self is, how are you going to save it? Hallelujah. So we need to talk about self-denial. And what do the Bible mean by save yourself? Because this is what that apostle said. Save yourself. Well, Peter, I thought I just got saved when I got the Holy Ghost. That was just the beginning. That's the down payment. That's called the act of salvation. Hallelujah. That's the initial experience, event, whatever you want to call it. Some people think when they got the Holy Ghost, glory to God, that's it. No, that's the beginning. Now you got to save yourself. That's what the apostle trying to tell us. And it says, then they that gladly received the word, because those people had repented, they took his advice, got the Holy Ghost, received his word. They was baptized, and the same day was added 3,000 souls, or selves, souls. And they continued steadfast. And the apostles' doctrine. How did they know to continue steadfast? In other words, you get this doctrine and you get this truth and you don't be moved by nothing. And no, how did they know? Those apostles taught them. Because the Bible said with many other words Peter kept preaching. Not just those words we stop at verse 38 and 39. Peter kept preaching, and these people understood that if you're going to save yourself, you better establish yourself in this word. Hallelujah. The Bible teaches us that we're to continue in the doctrine. And if you do so, you'll save yourself and them that hear you. That's what the Apostle Paul told Timothy to tell the church. You'll save yourself and them that hear you. Save yourself. So we're talking about the self tonight. And the subject is self-denial. But before I get to self-denial, we're just going to kind of get a good understanding of the self. And I want you to know, whatever you give the self to, whatever you give your soul, it's like tofu. It becomes what you give it to. Do you know, it many times in the Bible, when it talks about the flesh, it's really not talking about this? Sometimes it is, but many times it is not talking about the body. Do you know why the Bible said, walk in the spirit and not in the flesh? Because the soul or the self can become fleshy. How can the soul become fleshy? When you get out of the spirit and decide to partake of sin, the soul or the self becomes sinful. And when the self did that, it was in this flesh. And so when you did that act, believe it or not, whatever you give your body to, your body will crave it. Your body have what is called affections. Let me try to explain affections. I love when my wife touched me. Ain't nobody else touching me either. Why do I like that? Why does she like me touching her? The body have affections. When you was a baby, your mama touched you. She cared for you. She loved you. Your daddy, if you had a good family, they loved you. And so that body got used to touch. And it yearns for that because there's affections in your body. So, but what if that body wouldn't have never been touched, never been loved? Maybe it could live without it. So whatever you give your body to, it wants it too. So if your soul make a decision or yourself make a decision to sin, and when you sin in that body, now this body craving for what you gave it to. And now your soul become what is called fleshy. Wow, because the soul or the self is like tofu. That makes sense? It may sound spooky. It ain't spooky. Just read the Bible. That's why you got to be careful what you give yourself to. That's why you got to be careful who you give yourself over to. Amen. Now, see, how many of y'all know some people fall in love with the wrong person? You know how you fell in love? You begin to give yourself and your emotions to them. And before you knew it, yourself couldn't do without that person. Because whatever you give yourself over to, it yearns for it. It creates emotions for it. Be careful what you give yourself to. Hallelujah. All right. I'm traveling. I'm going somewhere. Titus 3, verse 3 down to verse 5. And we're still talking about salvation, what happened, how we got saved. And Peter laid it out right here. And we got the Holy Ghost. And after we got the Holy Ghost, Peter said, now you have to save yourselves. It becomes your responsibility, Son of God, what you do with yourself after the Holy Ghost. You are responsible. Hallelujah. Titus 3, verse 3 down to verse 5. It says, for we ourselves also were sometime foolish. I was right there. That's why we can have compassion on people. Hallelujah. Disobedient, deceived, serving divers lust and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. You say, I never did that, but you did something. Verse 4 says, but after that, the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, towards all men. God is so kind. He reaches out to us, no matter who we are, where we are. Brother Jerry was talking about the love he feels here. It's because God is in our flesh and in our self and in our spirit reaching out. And not only are we reaching out in the house, we're reaching out in the city. No matter how much we lift our voices, we're reaching out in love to this city. Glory to God. It says, but after that, the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, towards all men appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done. It wasn't that I was so righteous when he reached out to me. No, I was a wretch. But he reached out in love. But according to his mercy, God had mercy on me. The Bible said, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. God was so faithful to me. Hallelujah. And I thank him for that. I can't do nothing but love him now. But it said by his mercy he saved us. Then he tell you how? By the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now, this is what we know to be the salvation experience. And I talked a little bit about that in my other series, but we ain't gonna never get away from that because we gotta establish that completely in our hearts and our mind what really happened to us. It was a regeneration that was a birth. That means birth. Your spirit was born, your soul or yourself was washed. God washed yourself. We still talk about self-denial, but he washed the self of the things that was taking it off course. And now he says, save yourselves from this untoward generation. How you gonna save yourself? Stay away from what you was washed from. That's how you save yourself. You think self gonna be saved? If you keep going back, knowing that it's yourself is like tofu, it becomes what you give it to. If you give it to lust, you're gonna be full of lust when the trumpet blow. If you give it to sin, any kind of sin, it's going to be full of sin when the trumpet blow. You was washed. He washed yourself. He washed that soul, but he gave birth to that spirit. But that spirit is God's candle. It searches you. It judges you. It tells you when you're off and when you're right and wrong. That's God's candle. That was born and became one with the Holy Ghost. They that are joined to God is one spirit, but yourself was washed, cleaned up, and sanctified. Now, keep it clean, and that's how you save yourself. So God came in, died, had his son down that cross, died for your sins, sent back his Holy Spirit, cleaned you up, snatched you out of a dangerous situation, and put the responsibility back on you. Come on now. You ain't changing no Pampers on your 14-year-old boy. You changed him when he was little. But if you changing them now, something wrong with both. And God ain't changing no Pampers. God got pastors to help and assist you, be merciful to you, bear with you. Paul said, my little children of whom I travail in birth again, which means they got entangled. But he told them, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, and be not again entangled with the yoke of bondage. See, anytime you touch sin, it's an entanglement. Because whatever you give yourself to, it's entanglement. Then there's a scripture in Timothy that said, now, if preadventure God grant you repentance, that means he don't necessarily have to grant you repentance. If preadventure he grants you repentance through the acknowledging of the truth. When the truth is preached, that's God's opportunity now for you to acknowledge that truth. Because see, if you don't acknowledge that truth, you're subject to go back and do the same thing. And that's why God, it says, if preadventure God grants you repentance. See, God looking at your heart. He's looking at, do you really hate that thing? Do you really want God to free you? Because if you really, really, really want to be free, God really, really, really want to grant repentance. But many folks don't get repentance, and they go year after year battling the same temptation, the same problem, because they haven't made up their mind. Just telling you the truth. Look, how in the world are you going to fix the problem until you know what the problem is? So this is the salvation experience. This is what happened. We was born again. The self was washed and sanctified. And now we have instruction. Now save yourselves by keeping it that way.
Well, praise the Lord. That's it for today. This is Apostle Curtis Lewis. If you would like to call us, you can call us at 225-802-5613. That's 225-802-5613. For more free teaching, go to our website at www.someonecaresministry.org. This is Apostle Lewis saying, someone cares for you, and his name is Jesus. Well, praise the Lord. Apostle Lewis, again, I want to take these next few seconds to give you another invitation to come visit with us at our local assembly located in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. That's 10414 Mammoth Avenue in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Refuge Temple Ministries. We meet at 10 a.m. Sunday mornings, 7 p.m. Sunday night. And on Wednesday night, we have our Bible study via YouTube, and you'll have the blessing of hearing our chief apostle, Bishop Wendell Archie. Again, we want to give you an invitation. Come out and visit with us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and every Sunday night at 10 p.m. and every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Apostle Lewis again said, and we love you. We thank God for you. And remember, someone cares for you, and his name is Jesus.